Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life with your host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our guest tonight is Dr. Nisha Manek, and we will be talking about bridging science and spirit. If you have a question or comment for our guest tonight, the number here is 888-627-6008. Tonight's show is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. So, Bob, let's just jump right into the interview.
Yes, and Dr. Nisha Manek is an internationally recognized leader in the field of integrative medicine. She's also a protege of Dr. William Tiller and a student of the theoretical applications of his physics. She's dedicated to innovative approaches to health and wellness, and she strives to synthesize her work as a physician and a scientist with spiritual inquiry and practice. She's a fellow of the American College of Physicians and a fellow of the Royal College of Physicians in the UK. Her new book, which we're going to be talking about tonight, is Bridging Science and Spirit. And Dr. Manek's website is her name, Nisha, N-I-S-H-A, Manek, M-A-N-E-K, MD.com. Welcome, Dr. Manek.
Hey, Bob, good evening to you all the way from Santa Cruz, California. If I can make you a little jealous, it's a beautiful 72 degrees outside. And once I am having this interview, I'm going to hop on outside for an ice cream cone. Okay.
Well, you know, the radio station is in California, but we're speaking to you from Florida, so I'm not that jealous. So.
Well, it's so great to be on the Family Foundation show, and thank you for having me.
And then that's our pleasure. You know, so one would think that, you know, your career as a medical doctor and an academic means that you would discount spiritual concepts because they're not evidence-based, and after all, you're a scientist. But but you were drawn to spirituality. So, I mean, was this some inner quest on your part that has always been with you?
You know, great question, Bob. It sure has. I was born and raised in Kenya. I was born in a small village right on the equator. And I'm of a Hindu faith. And you know, Kenya was a British colony. And my great-grandfather came to East Africa really as a merchant. So I was born and raised, and I really have no connections to India as such. But it's interesting, and people have done a lot of work around this. The Indian diaspora in East Africa have really held on to their roots culturally and spiritually very, very strongly. So I grew up in a household where spirituality was very normal, and it was very much a part of my life. And thank goodness, because my education, my very scientific way of living has actually taken me around the world. You know, I left Kenya when I was a teenager, and I actually have an undergraduate degree from Case Western Reserve in Ohio. And from there, I went to Glasgow University to study medicine. I practiced in London. I'm a fellow of the Royal College of Physicians. And my training brought me back to the United States. And I did rheumatology at Stanford. So from there, I went on to do most of my medical career in Mayo Clinic. So on the one hand, here I was raised in a very spiritual household. And by that, I mean, you know, there was deities, a temple in the house. And Bob, if I might share a really important lesson I learned, and this is from my mother. in the mornings, we do puja. Puja is an offering to the divine. And you can label the divine in any which way you want. But in our home, it was Hanuman, the monkey god, and Lord Rama. And we would offer a piece of fruit and pray. And my mom one day, and I was really young, and she turned to me and said, "Would you ever give a rotten fruit to God?" And I was horrified. I thought she's got to be, you know, I mean, she was very serious. Would you do that? And I thought, oh, that's awful. We'd never do that. And like that, she says, don't go after divine or understanding of the implication or the relevance of the divine in your life in old age. Do not go to pilgrimages in old age. You must offer yourself to God in the ripeness of your youth. And it struck me, this mother of mine, a widow in a big family, instilled in me and my brothers, and it really was my whole family. We have a very, very strong spiritual upbringing. And it has really steadied me throughout the uncertainties of life, of making choices. And it is this quest for truth, even in medicine. While I was at the Mayo Clinic, and the reader will read in my book, that it was obvious to me that there is much, much more to the human than just this bag of molecules. And yet every day I was just doing molecular analysis and blood testing and x-rays. And it was very important, but there was this big gap and I felt it. And so I was always looking, always searching to build on that scientific life, because I'm really very scientific. I take my vitamins, I check the weather report, I eat ice cream in moderation, but I do those things. And so it is a scientific life, but there is always this alignment really deeply within to pay homage to the divine. So I hope I've given you a sense of this author. Long answer to your question.
Yeah, and I appreciate your answer. And I know it probably was not easy among your medical colleagues who paid little or no attention to things, some of the things that you write about in your book. I mean, for instance, in studying with William Tiller, I mean, you saw a link between medicine and physics, specifically information medicine. And that's a term that very few people are familiar with. So, I mean, can you give us just a brief description of what information medicine is?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, you know, here we are in medicine, really a king of sciences. It's a very rational science. It's very Cartesian, and which is really a follow through from Descartes. Descartes really was the you might say the father of modern science, a rational way to look at nature, including the human body and human disease. So from this Cartesian model comes the powerful vehicle called randomized controlled trials, where we look at active treatments versus placebo, and we compare them in groups of people with similar conditions, say high blood pressure, and we try to find out if the treatment is truly effective. And that's the power of data, of randomized controlled trial data. And we've observed over time that the placebo effect has grown, and we think it's partly because of patient expectations. Now, along this way, and I'm a rheumatologist who does, I deal with people who have immune diseases, and these are diseases which are chronic. They have arthritis, they have rheumatoid arthritis, systemic lupus, fibromyalgia, and many others. So I deal with lifelong diseases that don't necessarily shorten your life, although they actually do. But let's just say it's not like cancer. And I knew from experience and what my patients were reporting to me that chemicals alone don't take you the whole way. Although we have made great impressive strides in our understanding in science, there is a significant number of people that you give the best of conventional care and they still don't do well. And I thought to myself, why is this? You know, and lo and behold, along the way, some of my patients were doing energy medicine. This is an umbrella term for things such as Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga would come into that, Reiki, therapeutic touch, and there are others. And, you know, energy medicine is gaining some traction in many of the academic centers. So I came from the angle of understanding energy. And Bob, it's obvious in my research around energy, medicine actually doesn't have a structure, okay? It doesn't have a definition. Energy to us means calories, but of course, energy to the physicist is something quite different. And so here I had to reach across physical sciences into what is energy, and that's where I stumbled into William Tiller's work. One of his seminal papers is What Are Subtle Energies? Actually, there was another paper I referred to in my book, which was so impossible. It was one of my first papers, and it went into thermodynamics. And to your listeners, thermodynamics is the old, one of the oldest physical sciences, 200 plus years old, that deals with energy and its transformations. So, you know, Tiller had taken the angle that energy, that human intention, if it's focused enough, can actually change materials outside in a very strictly rigorous physical protocol just by intention alone. So first of all, he was very, very bold to do such work, take intention, which is really consciousness. Now he's bumping into consciousness, but he studied consciousness without the brain, without imaging, without brain MRI. So right away, here you have somebody at Stanford University who's asking a very primal question, consciousness. And then the operative word for consciousness is now intention. Can his intention do something measurably to a physical substance? And I was very intrigued by that. And in his hands, yes, indeed, his intention is so powerful that it could change again and again something like water, human enzymes and a whole living system in a very predictable direction. And I thought, this is wowzers, okay? You cannot do something with your intention just like that. And that's where I thought, is this for real? And I'm skeptical. You know, I thought, how can you change something like a water pH with a whole pH unit just with intention alone? No chemical additions, just intention. And this is the significance of Tiller's work. We know, Bob, that humans can affect with their thoughts machines from a distance. And this is the genius of Tiller. He decided that if that is true, and it appears to be so in different labs, including Princeton Anomaly Research Lab, which is PAIR, that maybe, you know, human intention, which is information and subtle energies, can be imprinted into a simple circuit, a device, which in turn then can broadcast this. And that's the intermediary from his intention to the actual effect. Now, this device is where it's very interesting. Very simple thing. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could imprint your TV remote control or your mouse and or your iPhone. I think these are all devices that we're using all the time, and they're really very personal. We even call them things like Alexa and Siri, and we know. So Tiller found that this device is stable. It is a stable repository of his subtle energy information, which can broadcast to the target material. So here we have something that is not only excited, it is above thermodynamic potential. It is a source of energy which is intimately connected to information, very coherent information, which then can change materials. what he did was quite astonishing. And it is in my book, Bridging Science and Spirit, and it's a metaphor of a bridge, Bob, as you will have read it. In pillar number 6, I open the question to what does this mean for modern medicine? Well, this is something very interesting. In normal medicine, I go into an office, a brick and mortar, I shake the hands of a physical person and I tell them my name and I see them. What Tiller is showing that this device can be imprinted with a specific intention to help a group of people. And he did that with autistic children. And they are all around the world. He is located in Arizona. And he imprints a device which sits in Arizona, and then he switches on. He switches on the device, and guess what happens? Subtle energy is not electromagnetic. It doesn't travel through telephone wires. It is going through the field effect. And now we're getting into some definitions your listeners may not be familiar with. But here's the thing. Subtle energy does not obey normal physical rules. And that's information medicine. Intention is a source of information. Information is very directed energy. It can travel without decay over hundreds to thousands of miles to the recipient. And you might wonder, and I know some of the listeners are probably thinking, well, isn't this like prayer? And actually, I do call it something very similar. I call it the granny effect. Your grandmother and her church group are very powerful healers. They do with their collective intention, they're sending out information, okay? So when you have a healing group or whether you have a physicist like Tiller who's doing this with a device, it's very, very similar. And it does have tangible effects. So I think we're now moving into an area in medicine that not only is, you know, you don't need to be in the office. Tiller has never met any of this, children with autism. He's physically in Arizona. And yet his positive love and intention positively impacted children as far away as Australia. How is that possible? But we now know that looking at the field effects, this intention does and can have effects statistically significantly. That's information medicine. I hope I'm getting somewhere in answering this question because it is complex, but to give you a frame there, I hope the readers will pick up my book.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good summary there, and it's an example. We're going to have to go to a break, but it's a good example how physics can show that the consciousness is
healing.
Not,
can, yeah, it does have an effect, absolutely.
We're talking with Dr. Nisha Manek, the book Bridging Science and Spirit. We're going to a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes, and stay with us.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Nisha Manek. If you have a question or comment for our guest, the number here is 888-627-6008. This show is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. Bob?
And we're back with Dr. Manek talking about her book, Bridging Science and Spirit. In the book, you mentioned that the brain, the physical brain, receives about 11 million pieces of information per second. So, the brain obviously processes a very tiny fraction of this. So I guess the question is, what happens to the rest of the information?
Yeah. You know, this has been known for a very long time that the brain, the conscious brain processes, I think, 16%. It used to be 40, and now it's actually really minuscule compared to the unconscious and subconscious minds, which is magnitudes higher than that. So what happens to all of this? And, I'm just sitting here on my chair, looking ahead at my wall, all of this is causing impressions on my sensual system. I choose to dump most of it. I choose to dump the sensation on my seat. I choose to dump the sensation of, the breeze around my face, the curtain color, everything. I'm focused on what Bob is asking me and the sound waves reaching my ear. That's what my consciousness is tuned to. I'll tell you this, though. Once I began to meditate seriously, okay, and that means 20 to 30 minutes, I actually enjoy it so much. It's one of my... it's just as much as I brush my teeth and take my vitamins, I sit down to meditate. There's no special anything. It's simply closing my eyes and watching my in-breath and out-breath, and there the mind goes. And the mind is actually impersonal. You know, it just does its thing, just like the heart is beating, the lungs are breathing. It's impersonal. It's not Nisha's mind. It's not my thoughts. There's nothing personal about it. Once you get that, you don't really care. It's like the radio in one corner blaring. I don't want to pay attention to the radio. And that sort of released me to understand that, you know, then the unconscious started to bubble up. I was getting kernels of information that I could attach meaning to. And that my consciousness then would give meaning to it, and my whole experience of life began to become richer. And I think meditation can allow your conscious bandwidth, your brain capacity and power to increase. And we know this. We know that just like you go to the gym and pump some iron and your biceps go nice and bulky and you look great, your brain does too. So the same way, the meditation is simply watching and not attach. People call it various things, you know, mindfulness, all whatever you like. One big action point for your listeners is get yourself into meditation. Your conscious bandwidth and your brain is going to be more entrained, and your heart opens, your subconscious will feed you more. You give it meaning, your brain will expand in its processing capacity. But you're right. Otherwise, most people really, and I'm the same way for a long, long time, drink coffee, go about our day, we memorize things, our board exams, and all of these things are going on. But I must say the spiritual and meditative practice do expand your processing capacity and what you give meaning to. And one thing that I write about in my book was not only giving meaning to Tiller's work, which really, frankly, is sometimes way out there. I mean, it is. But yet I know the truth of it. It's a very truthful way. He's really saying consciousness must be part of the scientific endeavor. You as the experimenter are entwined with whatever you're measuring. We know this. Don't think you're separate. Everything is interrelated. And also I talk about one thing that I had no idea about when we're talking about consciousness. And it is this concept of relics. And relics are objects that are very, very conscious, very alive. And I talk about the Buddha's relics. And on the cover of my book, I draw the cartoon, a whimsical cartoon of Tiller holding his device, his imprinting, and of Buddha, who's in the mudra of Abhaya Mudra, which is blessing. So, you know, my partner in science was actually Lord Buddha himself, Bob, and he really was. So the relics of the Buddha, I gave meaning to that word relic, and, you know, my whole life was turned inside out because I realized that my whole notion about the brain, consciousness, in one moment was completely destroyed. And I had to go back to the drawing board and ask myself, what is this consciousness? And what are the highest levels? Because the Buddha is not an ordinary human anymore. He's an avatar. We feel his effects even today, those souls on earth that change our trajectory forever and leave a goodness, recalibrate the humanity, so to speak. So, you know, I'm giving you a very long answer to a very good question. But yes, your brain otherwise is going to be limited. We want to be unlimited beings. And to be honest, I think it's our heart which really feeds us the stuff. The heart is the repository of love, and love is infinite. You know, when you love all things, you give it meaning, then your brain acts accordingly. Actually, that's, you go to medicine from a compassionate basis, so your actions will then start to reflect that.
Yeah. So when Tiller and you did some more work involving imprinting information on devices, so it's not, yeah, a matter of intellectually repeating, you know, phrases, you know, to imprint information. It has more to do with emotion
Yes, and absolutely.
That is what gets stored and transmitted. So it's not an intellectual pursuit. It's more of an emotional pursuit, right?
Yes. You know, I've attended and helped Tiller in some of the imprinting. One of my case reports, and I reported in information medicine as an example of personalized care, I do follow a gentleman, even though I left the Mayo Clinic, I still keep in touch with him. He has a very unusual arthritis called ankylosing spondylitis. And, you know, with all of the most amazing conventional care, this gentleman, millions of dollars of imaging and biologicals and, you know, surgeries and all of it, he was not doing well. And he's in the Twin Cities. And he finally contacted me in Arizona and said, look, Dr. Manick, I know you're doing this energy research and something to do with physics. I'm ready to try this. And so I call him Mark, with his help, in other words, he and I on the phone decided what is his intention, what does he want for his health, what gives meaning to his life, okay? We really have to go into some of those aspects, so social aspects, emotional aspects, and not just his pain, although that was very important too. I know that. And then I took it to Dr. Tiller, and actually Mark signed a consent form because this is not approved, obviously, but he was very, very alert and clear that he wants to do this. And then I with Tiller, imprinted, you know, every 3 months we would gather in Tiller's living room in Scottsdale. And this is it. We would clear the space. That means we cleared the space from all, you know, other entanglements in space and time. And that we honor, we do spiritual cleansing in a sense, you know, and then we ground it. So we, each of us in our own hearts, you just close your eyes. It's a meditation. And that's where Tiller had told me, before I work with you, Nisha, you need to be very serious about your meditation because the science will have no meaning for you. And I'm glad he was very strict with me. And it actually delighted me. I thought, finally, you know, somebody who's a physicist and saying, I know the physical sciences, you need to have inner development hand in hand. So in the imprinting session, I can tell you, Bob, we read the intention statement out that for Mark, in the highest good, we would like for A, B, and C. We just read it out and then we hold it. So it's a meditative silence, holding that space for a full half an hour. And then we close it. Thy will be done. Okay, that's the Lord's Prayer. How amazing that a physicist reaches into Master Jesus's most, you know, most beautiful prayer, seals the device, and we would each feel it. And to be honest, I honestly couldn't feel anything. But Tiller, you know, he has a very, very developed sense. He often saw things, auras around things. It's very natural ability for him. And he says, you can train yourself to do this. It's not magic. It's that we have these abilities. And then we would wrap it in aluminum foil so that the information doesn't leak away and it would be Federal Expressed to Mark, who lived in Minneapolis. And then he would unplug it and plug it in to his bedroom. So that was personalized information medicine. But the imprinting process itself is actually relatively straightforward. Just be clear on the intention. And here, you know, I worked with Mark. We really worked on it for a few weeks, actually. There was no hurry. I wanted to say to Mark, take your time. You want to be absolutely peaceful about what you're requesting because it will happen. We don't know the time it will happen in, but all things indicate that from the Tiller work, statistically, this is going to move things in you. And it did, you know, emotionally, it was like an inside out healing. It was just so amazing. He would come on the phone with us on some of our Thursday meetings and he would call in. He says, you know, I don't know what this is, but I just feel optimistic. He's a lawyer and he couldn't use his left arm. He had to, you know, support his left arm with almost like a sling, gave up his gym memberships. Now, those things took time to come back, But it was his emotions that lifted. I feel more happy. I have no idea why. Everything outer conditions are unchanged. So there was a kind of emotional upliftment that happened. And then over time, and it happened very quickly. It's a nonlinear process. You know, it's not like a dose you take to aspirin, call me in the morning. Mm. We knew, Tiller and I knew that over time, you know, it could be 1 year, it might be 2 weeks. We didn't know. We just knew that it will happen. And sure enough, you know, in 2018, his program began around, I think it was 2014 to 2015. The dates are in the book. And then, I would touch base with Mark, and he said, Dr. Manik, my pain's just disappeared. I have no idea why. I've had no biologics. I haven't been to the Mayo for a while. And it was very magical for me to hear that, because I know as a rheumatologist, these things just don't happen overnight without, you know, a lot of chemical support in the background. So I give his case report as one way to illustrate the imprinting process, what can happen with all the things we did, you know, in the normal conventional realm, and what information, which was just a device, we imprinted and sent it to him. Right. But it took time. I think as we get better and better at this, and I would invite all the young, if they're young listeners and scientists, to get my book, you know, really study this. I think we have a lot more to learn. I may be making it sound more simple, but it was like that. It was like that in my experience. And thank goodness for Mark, he did get better. And Tiller says, you know, it takes time for the information to unravel the old physical molecules in your body, and then they rebuild. You have a new potential, you get new information, and so on and so forth. And then there's a new body. You know, Mark is new, but the emotions turn first, inside out, not outside in, that can make sense.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. We have to go to another break. We're talking with Dr. Nisha Manik, the book Bridging Science and Spirit, and stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
For those who are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Nisha Manak. This show is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. As always, we want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all the latest events and happenings. Now, coming up for free this coming March, on March 3rd from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the East Haven, Connecticut Afterlife Discussion Group meets. On March 15th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the Brookline, Massachusetts Afterlife Discussion Group meets. The Visionary Explorers Group will not meet in March, so their next meeting is scheduled for April 11th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific, and everything in between and on the sides, because that group meets online. Our Holiday of the Earth Raffle 2020 is up and running on our website. One chance is only $5, and you could be one of the five winners of medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Tracy Lee Nash, Neil Zapowski, Renee Buck, Catherine Nadal, or Eliza Ray. Our 2020 webinars have begun, and we extend a big thank you to Dr. Stafford Betty for his presentation, When Did You Ever Become Less by Dying, this past Sunday, which was set for a time to make it easy for our friends and members across the pond to attend. So several of our webinars this year will be at various times and on alternate days of the week to accommodate other time zones. So please check the website for registration information, and please pay attention to the dates and the times. Our next webinar, which is one that nobody should miss, is called Urgent Message, Can You Hear Us Now?, presented by Dr. Betty Kovach and Forever Family Foundation certified medium Janet Mayer. For our listeners tonight, we have two codes for this March 11th webinar. Non-members, please use Betty2020 for your half-price seats, and members, use Janet2020 for your free seats. Our annual Summer Grief Transformation Retreat has quite a few super early bird enrollees already. So if you're thinking of attending this very special weekend event with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Kim Russo, Joe Scheel, who is our spirit artist, and Joe Peretta, along with our featured facilitator, Dr. Mohanna, waste no time. Sign up now to learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway into another chapter of continuing life. And that weekend is July 10th through 12th in Chester, Connecticut. Also, mark your calendars for November 13th through 15th, 2020, for our biennial afterlife and medium convention in Fort Myers, Florida. And please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits, and Follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, and we're back with Dr. Nisha Manik, the book Bridging Science and Spirit. You know, we talk a lot about discarnate entities, and we surmise that they're entities of thought and energy. How does that mesh with Tiller's hypotheses?
Good question, Bob. You know, I was with the Tillers just a few days ago. He's 90 years old, sprightly, walks and meditates every day. It was just to touch base with him. And in our conversation, Gene Tiller piped up, you know, thoughts are things. Thoughts are things. So thoughts have a physical, information is physical. Physicists would agree with that. Energy, you know, people often say energy is everything. Well, actually, the more fundamental unit in our universe is information. Earth is information rich. Sun is energy rich. But it's this blue planet, which is so amazing because it's information rich. It's like a pocket where we're creating information all of the time. We are ordering things. We're creating, you know, technology to me speaking to you. So we're always understanding the surroundings and nature with information. So thoughts are things. Information is physical, just as physical as, you know, me measuring a temperature or weighing something. Information is just as physical as that. So coming back to, information is not destroyed as such, okay? If you think a thought, it's very much out there in space, indestructible. And that's where, you know, it makes me careful. What am I creating? What are my intentions? And what am I doing every day? My intentions are in full view. What I wear, what I eat, what I say, what I think. You know, we think it's all private. It's not. Nothing really is private. Also, I just came back from India, and I was in a retreat in a center. I've dedicated the book to Vimala Tucker. She was one of my teachers, and she passed. She left the physical body in 2009, and in one of her readings, she says, "Make no mistake about it. Your thoughts emanating from you, whether it's verbalized or not, is held in space. It floats there." It is not destroyed and certainly not private. And what you think will affect the very physical space around you. Does this sound familiar? You know, it is held there. And so, you know, people do psychic readings and they know you can absolutely feel these things. This information is left there and it is sort of sticky, you know. So Tiller, it does mesh with Tiller's work, that this sort of invisible realm is very real. And once we have technology to understand it, because some of this is beyond, you know, speed of light. And I mentioned this, that we are very much in the physical sciences, that we describe space, we describe time, and time is then categorized by, you know, our clocks and speed of light. Those are the sort of yardsticks. But when you look at those yardsticks, they lose meaning when you talk about thoughts and consciousness. And we have to make that bridge. We just don't have the instruments yet, but I think we'll get there. Will we get there in my lifetime? I don't know, but we sure have to be aware of that, okay? So, yeah. Yes, it does mesh very well with Tiller. Tiller, I think, is brave also to say we have to go beyond our normal four dimensions, and he does give the reciprocal dimension, our space, as he calls it, that is beyond our normal dimensions, and it is faster than the speed of light, superluminal. That's where the thoughts reside. That's where cosmic mind resides. Now we have at least a framework. You know, it's not just, well, maybe or maybe not. But his science clearly shows that there are different dimensions. You have to start labeling them and describing them, because that's where thermodynamic power comes from the R space, which charges up the normal reality and makes things run. Now you have opened up whole new industries, whole new ways of living beyond the electromagnetic world, which is slower than the speed of light. And I know I'm throwing out a lot of, maybe it sounds like jargon, but I hope your listeners will pick up Bridging Science and Spirit. And I'm going to add the subtitle, The Genius of William A. Tiller's Physics and the Promise of Information Medicine.
Yeah, it's interesting in some of these things we're talking about, whether it's imprinting information or about, you know, discarnate and survival of consciousness. There's a lot of skepticism, and there's a great quote from Tiller in a book. In your book, it says, he said, skepticism has bound up man. Beliefs shackle him down. Man is limited by his own perceptions.
I invented a term called homo dubitat. Homo dubitat, the skeptical man. We're homo sapiens, but really we're homo dubitat. We are doubting rational minds. But, you know, that has severe limitations. And I know from my retreat, from my watching what Tiller is able to do, that this is not going to help us. It's not going to help us reach beyond our five senses. We have to go beyond these things. And that's what he calls psychoenergetics. And, you know, all those abilities that people do have, they're just latent. So get meditation. Intention is a process of creation. I love that. That's his definition, that we are creating ourselves. You can recreate yourself. You recreate your brain. You do meditation. You give meaning to more and more things. Increase your bandwidth. You become homo spiritus. You become homo universalis. And these were terms that were given to me by my teachers. Those were, and these teachers don't know each other. So it was like being given code words by Dr. David Hawkins, who said, we're evolving from homo sapiens to homo spiritus. My teacher, Vimala Tucker, said, when I visited her in Mount Abu in Rajasthan, India, she said to me, you know, in your lifetime, there will be brotherhood of man. You just don't see it. But the trajectory is going that way. And it's true, I sometimes still think, is she right? But there is a great, you know, we have flood of information. And if we knew discernment, I think we can really become a collective village. And I think in many ways we are going there. So she calls it homo universalis. And it's very beautiful. And of course, homo illumini, the self-illumined man. We're coming there. So I hope Bridging Science and Spirit will go to fulfilling that promise, that we can look at the tools seriously, to look at the levels of consciousness and reach ever higher. You know, we're the spiritual mystics have pointed the way. Let's use the tools. Truth is impersonal. It doesn't have to be a workshop or some secret sauce or anything. It's always there. And we just have to use it.
Yeah. We have been talking with Dr. Nisha Manick, Bridging Science and Spirit, The Genius of William Tiller's Physics and the Promise of Information Medicine. So if you want to learn more about how science and spirituality are not that different or not as different as you might think, it's a good book to read. Dr. Manick, thank you very much for being with us tonight. And we wish you a continued success in your research, and we hope to talk to you again.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me, and good night.
Good night.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.
Bob, are you still there?